had been in the area of the Decapolis, and that's where he had healed the man named Legion. If you remember that story from last week, you remember that a couple of thousand people showed up where Jesus was with one purpose, which was to ask him to go away. They were terrified by what they had seen happening, and they just wanted Jesus to leave. And so he got into a boat, and he crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he arrived back in Capernaum, where he encountered a completely different greeting. Mark says a great multitude rushed to him, not from him, but to him. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They wanted a message of the kingdom. They wanted a chance to hear the one who was the Son of God. But as they gathered around him, the Bible says a man pushed forward through the crowd. His name was Jairus, and he was desperate. He was the leader of the synagogue, and his daughter was dying, and he cried out, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed." And so, surrounded by the crowd, the Bible says they thronged him, which means there was barely enough room for Jesus to move. And slowly this crowd began to make its way through the streets of Capernaum on their way to Jairus' house. But in the midst of that mob, there was another person, unnoticed, unimportant, and absolutely desperate. She needed the Lord to do something in her life. If Christ couldn't help her, there was nowhere else to turn. Who was this woman who came to Christ? We know her as the woman with an issue of blood. All she wanted to do was touch the hem of his garment. Here's how the Bible describes her condition. It says she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. As I was reading her story, a question came to me. And that question was this: why was she so desperate? Why was she willing to struggle so hard to find the healing that only Jesus could give to her? Even though she had been suffering for 12 years, her disease didn't seem to be a life-threatening thing. It was not one of those situations where, if the Lord doesn't help me, I'm going to die. Why was she so willing to endure so much suffering for so many years, so much humiliation? Why was she willing to sacrifice everything that she had in a search for healing? What made her so desperate? And why did it drive her to Jesus? Who was this woman? The Bible tells us a lot of things, but you have to kind of look between the words to understand all that was going on in this lady's life. The Bible says her disease affected her in ways that went far beyond physical suffering. If this had just been a matter of an illness, that would have been one thing, but her life had been devastated by this disease. It broke her heart. It injured her soul. It had stolen more from her than anybody can imagine. You see, this is what it meant for her to have this disease, this issue of blood that so affected her life. Her condition meant everybody around her considered her unclean. You see that woman? She's unclean. Watch out for her. She's unclean. Everything about her is unclean. People assumed her suffering was a sign that God was judging her life. This was about sin in her life. This was about failure. This was about God judging and separating himself from her. She was considered a social and personal and spiritual outcast. I want you to think for a moment about what this meant to this poor woman. Because she was considered unclean, anything she came into contact with was considered unclean as well. Anything she touched, unclean. Anyone she reached out to, unclean. Anywhere she sat, unclean. Anybody she even brushed against, unclean. Stay away from her. She's unclean. People went to great lengths to avoid her. That meant that her family had to abandon her. Even in the rare times when she went out in public, when she would see people pointing at her and warning one another, keep your distance, keep your distance. Unclean, unclean, unclean. Not only that, she had been unclean for 12 years. 12 years without experiencing the slightest human touch. 12 years without ever hearing a personal greeting. 12 years without seeing the expression of anybody break into a smile when they saw her coming. It's generally believed that she was first afflicted as she was entering the age of womanhood. That means that she had always been unqualified for marriage. Without a miracle, she would never know the comfort of a husband or the love of her own children. I want you to think about this. Half of her life had been spent as an outcast. Half of her life being unwelcomed wherever she went. Half of her life without being able to simply go to the marketplace. Half of her life never going to the temple. Half of her life never being anywhere people gathered together. And half of her life being blamed for her own suffering. What a desperate condition she was in. She lived a life of total isolation. Can you imagine? No wonder she was willing to do anything to be made well. No wonder she had gone from doctor to doctor, listened to remedy after remedy, talked to person after person. No wonder she had used up everything she had in a desperate attempt to be made well. And that day, as Jesus was making his way to Jairus' house, she understood, this is my last chance. If he can't do something, nobody can. Desperation drove her to make her way to Jesus by stealth. She realized as she made her way through this crowd that if anybody recognized her, she'd be driven away. Nobody would listen to why she was there. Nobody would want to know what was going on in her life. She simply knew, if anybody knows this is me, then I'll never have a chance to get to Jesus. And if that holy Jesus recognized who she was, he would surely avoid contact at any cost. So she used a scarf to cover her face, and she carefully made her way through the crowd without anybody recognizing who this was. And she said to herself, if I can just touch his clothes. She approached the Lord carefully. Quietly, she settled for simply touching the hem of his garment. I can do this, and then I can slip away again, and nobody will know it was me. When she touched his robe, she was healed. She knew instantly that she was whole. And Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. And he turned and he looked at the crowd and he said, who touched me? He refused to move on until she was exposed for everyone to see. People tried to say, Jesus, don't worry about that. Let's go. We're on our way. We're on a mission of mercy. We've got to get to where Jairus' daughter is. And Jesus refused to move. He forced her to reveal who she was. It was me. It was me. That's my second question. Why did she have to expose her identity to the crowd? After all, she had spent half her life in hiding, half of her life in shame, half of her life in rejection. Why in the world would Jesus, with all of these people around, force her to expose herself? Because Jesus knew that revealing herself was a necessary step towards spiritual healing. With his touch, he had healed her body, but Jesus didn't stop there. He knew that she needed a deeper healing than just the physical healing of her body. Jesus wanted the world around her to know she had been made whole. Why was that so important? Because Jesus wanted all of those people and all of the people who would hear the story of what happened that day to understand this woman is no longer an outcast. Never again will anybody avoid her. Never again will she have to worry about walking into someone's home or being found in the marketplace or stopping for a personal visit. This woman has been made whole. He restored her both emotionally and socially. It was his way of welcoming her back into the world she had been excluded from for so many years. It had been an incredible day. She had experienced that physical healing that she had always longed for. And now she had been told, you can go back into the world. There's no place you have to hide. There's nowhere you have to be ashamed. You go wherever you want and let people know Christ has made you whole. But the Lord still wasn't finished with her. He gave her the greatest gift of all. He restored her spiritually. Listen to what the Bible says that Jesus did for this woman. It says that she came and she fell down before him and she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. He turned to her and he called her daughter. Daughter. Do you understand what that means? It's a term of affection, a term of belonging, a term of love. It's a name that came from the voice of the Savior. Why did she need to hear that word so very much? Because for all of those long 12 years, she had been told God had rejected her. He had judged her, and he wanted nothing to do with her. She was convinced there would never be a way for her to be included among God's people. And Jesus showed her everything she had been told was a lie. God loved her. He wanted her. And he was bringing her home again. She was a daughter of God. And when he called her by that name, he made her completely whole. Physically whole, personally whole, spiritually whole. She knew what it meant to be healed and restored and loved. Jesus changed everything. And all she had to do was turn to him. After she'd sought every other way that there was to go and every other person who tried to tell her about her life, all she had to do was turn to Jesus, and everything was forever changed.
There was nowhere else to turn, and no one else to go. My body turn to you. When no one else would help, and no one else could hear my cries full of anguish, my cries full of fear, then I quietly turned to you.
What an incredible story. But what makes it so important this morning? Simply this, that the Lord who healed that woman so long ago is still in the healing business today. Healing broken bodies, broken hearts, broken souls. And all he asks is that we turn to him and find in him the fulfillment that can only come from Jesus. I don't know what your story may be today. It may be that you're struggling with something that everybody knows about. It may be that you're struggling with something that nobody knows anything about. It may be that whatever it is that's hurting you, you feel like it's cut you off from everybody around you. I simply know this. Whatever it is, all you got to do turn to Jesus. Just reach out and touch him. And he will say, daughter, son, I love you. And I will make you whole. Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. You've never given your life to Christ Jesus. Maybe today it's time to come home to the touch of Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. It'll be your chance to simply come forward here. I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We just want to welcome you and help you come to know Christ. Maybe he's calling you to this place to be part of what he is doing at First Baptist Church. And today you need to come and say, I don't want to just attend. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And I'm bringing my membership to First Baptist. Maybe today you just need to bring your hurting places to the Lord. It may be something you need to do publicly. It may be you need someone to talk to, and we'll be here. It may be something you need to do in the privacy of your own seat as you deal with the Lord. The one who loved and healed that woman so long ago is continuing to touch lives today. Turn to him. Let's stand together. Let's sing.